I grew up believing in Heavenly Father and God, but unlike my non-Mormon friends, I believed not only in Heavenly Father, I also was taught that there was a Heavenly Mother.
The beliefs and practices of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, have become a hot topic in our world. Today on Hope for the Heart, June Hunt talks with James Walker, a fourth-generation Mormon who, in college, had caring Christian friends show him how Mormonism varied from Orthodox Christianity. Now he's the president of Watchman Fellowship, and he joins June today to discuss some of these differences. It's from June's series, Mormonism, A Different Gospel, A Different God. Now June introduces us to James Walker here on Hope for the Heart.
I have a friend with me in the studio. James Walker is president of Watchman Fellowship. And James, you have helped our ministry so much as we've had materials on cults. I send you our material. You preview it. You edit it. You make sure every word is correct. Every scripture is the best scripture to use. I just want to thank you for your investment within our ministry.
Well, thank you, June. We appreciate what God's doing through your ministry, and it's just a pleasure to be here in the studio with you today.
I know that many people have already been helped in the past, but they just didn't know that you had a big part of it. Those who have contacted our ministry dealing with the topic of cults, or very specifically on Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, the New Age. You even previewed our material on Satanism and the occult. I consider you just a part of our ministry, even though I know you have your own ministry.
Well, it's great to be helpful on that. And, of course, you know, when our ministry specializes in that, it's kind of like, you know, in the medical field, you have a general practitioner, mm-hmm. and then sometimes you go to the specialist. So in the area of new religious movements, cults, the occult, Watchman Fellowship, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. We're the part of the body of Christ, or one of the groups that God's called us to specifically specialize in this very narrow field.
Mm-hmm. And yet, that's not where you really started. You were a fourth generation Mormon.
I was on the other side of the fence.
That's
originally.
Right. What was it like to grow up in a Mormon home?
It was a great experience. I enjoyed a lot of things about the Mormon Church. I really thought that all the churches believed the same doctrines pretty much that mm-hmm. we did. It wasn't until, of course, later that I found out that was not the case. Mm-hmm. But my experience was good. My father was a scout leader at the Boy Scout troop that was sponsored by the Mormon Church that mm-hmm. I attended. And it was overall a very pleasant experience.
Mm-hmm. Mormons are typically respected. There's a clean-cut image that I have when I think of Mormons. You mentioned doctrine. When I think of the Mormon Church, I know that the word God is used. And when I think of the Christian Church, the word God is used. But there may be very different meanings.
Yes, I don't think I even knew that, really, when I was growing up in the Mormon Church. I thought that my friends that were Lutherans and Baptists and evangelical Christians believed basically the same thing that I did.
And what was that?
Well, I was taught as a Latter-day Saint, as a Mormon, I believe that God was actually an exalted man. In other words, before God became God of our earth, he used to be a man on another planet.
Well, that's an actual teaching. There's a little couplet that is taught. As man now is, God once was. As God now is, man can become.
Yes.
Very different theology than what you read in the Bible.
I grew up believing in Heavenly Father and God, but unlike my non-Mormon friends, I believed not only in Heavenly Father, I also was taught that there was a Heavenly Mother,
mm-hmm.
that God was married, that there was, in effect, a Mrs. God, who mm-hmm. was our Heavenly Mother. And that before we came to this earth, we used to live with our heavenly parents in a place called the pre-existence. As a Latter-day Saint, I was also taught that if I was worthy, if I did not drink coffee and tea, if I mm-hmm. obeyed the rules and the what they call the laws and the ordinances, eventually I was taught I could become a God myself one day.
Mm-hmm. And you would rule a planet?
I would be married to a goddess wife, and we would procreate spirit children who then would inhabit our earth. And we would be the god and goddess over that earth in the same way that Heavenly Father, our God, had become the god of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was normal. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. people ask me, how could somebody believe that? And I don't know if they're talking about me or other Latter-day mm-hmm. Saints, but mm-hmm. it seemed to be very normal to me growing up. I was held the Mormon Aaronic priesthood as a young man. I was baptized back when I was 8 years old, and then I later served as a deacon, a teacher, and priest as a young man in the Mormon Church. And then I did baptism work for the dead in the Mormon temple in Salt Lake City, Utah.
And I think it would be helpful to explain what that means, baptism for the dead. But before we do that, let's clarify, even though there are over 100 splinter groups of Mormons, what you're talking about is mainstream theology based on the Book of Mormon.
Well, the Book of Mormon, but also on other writings. There's other scriptures in Mormonism. I was taught as a Latter-day Saint that the scriptures included the Bible, which we believed, however, that was not translated correctly.
Mm-hmm.
We had the book called the Book of Mormon, which you see on the television commercials. It's called Another Testament of Jesus Christ. And then we had a book called the Doctrine and Covenants, which is largely a collection of revelations or prophecies received by the Mormon prophet Joseph Smith, the original Mormon prophet. And then there's a fourth book called The Pearl of Great Price.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taught that all four books were scripture, except only one of them had mistakes in it, which would be
the Bible
not be mm-hmm. translated correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that as a source of doctrine, but also, June, I was taught in Latter-day Revelation that we had Latter-day apostles and prophets, including living apostles and prophets, who can give you information not found in the Bible or even found in the Mormon scriptures. The original prophet was named Joseph Smith, the original prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And he was technically the founder.
The founder of the mm-hmm. Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
But he has modern-day successors. So there's a living prophet in Salt Lake City right now who mm-hmm. I was told, if God chooses, could get a new revelation even this afternoon, and that revelation can be canonized, codified, become part of the scriptures, and functionally supersede all the previous writings.
Ah, so a greater weight than the Bible, even than the Book of Mormon.
Yes. Doctrines can change in Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
Polygamy was originally bad in the early days of Mormonism, and then in 1844, Joseph Smith began to receive new revelations that made polygamy a command of God that was going to mm-hmm. be an eternal doctrine. And so you have, in the early days of Mormonism, some of the Mormon leaders having dozens of wives and scores of children. However, in 1890, there's a new manifesto. There's a new revelation from God, and now polygamy is wrong again, mm-hmm. at least for the official mm-hmm. Mormon Church, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So you had these men with all these wives and children, and then one day it was considered to be doctrinal, and the next day it was considered to be not doctrinal mm-hmm. anymore. So mm-hmm. it was amazing.
But you didn't know that as a boy.
Oh, no. I heard stories, but I never knew the history of it.
Yes.
I only knew kind of homogenized, purified version mm-hmm. of the story. Mm-hmm. I never went back to read the history books. I just knew what my bishop and my parents and people I admired and respected mm-hmm. told me. I didn't really understand the history of polygamy, but mm-hmm. I did understand the idea that the beliefs come from not just the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of Heavenly Mother, that I could become a god, the baptism by proxy for the dead, you know, these are things that we get either from the Bible, but also mm-hmm. from the Book of Mormon, and also the Latter-day apostles and prophets could teach us things mm-hmm. that were new doctrines.
So what made you even consider that there might be another way, that there could be error within the teaching within the church?
Well, June, I had something that probably most Mormons don't have, unfortunately. See, I had some Christian friends who really loved me,
mm-hmm.
and they were concerned about me. And so they took the time and effort to basically do some homework. And they studied up, and they began to share with me over time. And I was resistant at first.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, in a loving way, they shared with me that the doctrines of the Mormon prophets didn't really line up squarely with the Bible.
Like what did they share?
They would share things with me like that there was only one true God. Now here, I had been taught And in the Mormon scriptures, it talks about the gods creating the heavens and the earth. And mm-hmm. I had been taught that our God was once a man and that I could become a God too one day. And I had some Christian friends share with me, there's only one true God. Now, when I heard that, I thought, well, you know, one God for this earth, but there's other earths and other gods. And they mm-hmm. said, oh, no, in the whole universe, there's only one God. I had some friends that showed me that in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, for example, I had a friend show me in Isaiah 43:10, and it says where it's God speaking there in the mm-hmm. passage, and God says, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Mm. And in the back of my mind, I'm trying to think, well, that might just be one of the mistakes in the Bible. You know, I had been told it hadn't been translated correctly. But it's that kind of thing, June, that the Holy Spirit can use, a little bit of truth like that, that Bible verse. And God started basically ministering to me through that. Mm-hmm. What if there is only one true God?
We'll continue with more from June Hunt and James Walker right after this. Life storms can destroy our lives in a way that makes recovery seem hopeless. June Hunt's book, Hope for Your Heart, provides hope for those trying to rebuild after losing their way in the storms. We would like to send you a copy of Hope for Your Heart as an expression of thanks for your gift of at least $25. And if you make that gift before the end of the month, we will also place a copy of this book into the hands of one of the many women in prison who are trying to rebuild their lives. Our order line is 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-HOPE, or you can visit us online at hopefortheheart.org.
I've had the opportunity in the past programs to share part of my testimony being born and raised a Mormon fourth mm-hmm. generation, and how I found out, you know, over time, because of Christian friends who loved me, the differences between biblical doctrine and the Mormon doctrine mm-hmm. on issues like who God is and who Jesus is. And I was able to find out the truth and come to a saving knowledge of the real Jesus Christ of the Bible.
I would venture to say that most people think, well, there's the Mormon church, there's one church. But that's not accurate. I know I have read that there are over 100 splinter groups. Explain to us, are they tremendously varied? Are they somewhat similar? Help us get an understanding when we hear the word Mormons or Latter-day Saints.
Well, you know, since becoming a Christian, well, I work with an organization, Watchman Fellowship. I serve as president, and our organization provides information and research, apologetics, discernment mm-hmm. from a Christian perspective on new religious movements, counterfeit Christianity, cults, the occult. And so we have quite a bit of information on literally thousands of different religious movements. But being a former Mormon, I've been really intrigued with the different kinds of Mormon churches. Mm-hmm. So we have files and information on well over 100 different churches that all believe that they are the real followers of mm-hmm. Joseph Smith in the Book of Mormon.
And basically, when Joseph Smith began this religion, he has said that since the early first century, that there really hasn't been a true church until he began this new religion, which ultimately became the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, they call it a restoration. And the story goes, and I was taught when I was a Mormon, that true Christianity ceased to exist shortly after the first century. Mm-hmm. And so when Joseph Smith prayed to God to ask him which church he ought to join, God appeared to him and warned him, and Jesus did also, and warned him he was to join none of the churches because they were all corrupt, they were mm-hmm. all wrong, none of them were true. So he had to restore the only true church. Mm-hmm. Now, I often say, you know, a restoration's supposed to look like the original. You know, I like a 1957 Chevy myself. And I've seen some pretty good restorations, you know, when they restore uh-huh. it and put it back. But you could imagine if somebody restored a 1957 Chevy, and then when they got through it looked like a Winnebago. Well, that's not a restoration. Mm-hmm. It's really another vehicle. Yes. And so ultimately I found that out. Now, the second thing that kind of shocked me is I didn't really understand this completely, is in my later research on Mormonism, there have been what some have described as divergent paths of the mm-hmm. restoration. Mm-hmm. In other words, when Joseph Smith restored the only true church, it quickly fragmented into hundreds of only true churches. Mm-hmm. And the largest, of course, is the church that I once belonged to, which is the Salt Lake City, Utah Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they're the ones that run the TV commercials and have the ubiquitous missionaries mm-hmm. knocking on our doors. Mm-hmm. But there's others.
Well, I assume that the second largest is the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yes. And they're headquartered in Independence, Missouri, which is mm-hmm. a suburb of Kansas City. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting part of the country. Joseph Smith taught that Western Missouri was the actual site of the Garden of Eden, spoken yes. of in the Bible. And that was an important area in early Mormon history, and the reorganized church is headquartered there. Now, they've just here recently changed their name. They've gone through a number of changes, doctrinal changes, different direction, and they now call themselves the Community of Christ. So when you see the Community mm-hmm. of Christ, no, that's the new name for the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Just the other day, I received a call here at our ministry, and a man who believed that Mormonism was a cult was asking about the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He wanted to know if there was as much concern about the RLDS as the LDS.
It's a great question. I would have to say there's concern. It's a kind of a different kind of concern, mm-hmm. though. The RLDS, or now the Community of Christ, they have often defined themselves by saying, we're not Mormons, and we don't believe the same thing the Mormons do. And that's
true to a
sense.
And they've never really called themselves Mormons.
No.
In fact, there are certain things they don't believe in and never have. The polygamy.
Definitely.
They did not endorse baptism for the dead.
Mm-hmm.
But now you take over.
Well, they've also never accepted one of the Mormon scriptures. They do accept the Book of Mormon, mm-hmm. but they never have accepted the Pearl of Great Price, which includes the Book of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And they have usually been much more liberal than the Utah Mormons. They gave the priesthood to African Americans many, many years before the Mormons finally got around to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also more recently opened up the priesthood to women, which is not allowed in the Mormon church. So the way it all started was when Joseph Smith died, the Mormons often claim he was martyred. What really happened was he was incarcerated and a mob of people came to, they were going to lynch him basically,
yes.
is what happened. And he, two guns had been smuggled into the jail and Joseph Smith was able to shoot three men, two of whom died before he was shot and killed. After his death, there were no like written contingency plans on who should be the next prophet. And so several important early Mormon leaders claimed to have direction from God or maybe a vision saying that they should be the next prophet. And
like Brigham Young?
Brigham Young led the largest group. He was the president of the 12 apostles, and he was the one who took the majority of the Mormons with him eventually to Salt Lake City, Utah. But there were other splinter groups. What happened is Emma Smith, Joseph Smith's first wife. Mm-hmm. You know, Joseph Smith was a polygamist. He had a number of wives. His first wife, Emma, and their son, Joseph Smith III, ended up eventually becoming a part of this reorganized church. And
yes.
Joseph Smith's son, Joseph Smith III, became the first prophet of the RLDS Church, Reorganized Latter-day Saints.
And I don't think his wife was real hot on him being a polygamist, Joseph Smith being the polygamist. Is that right?
She was certainly not in favor of it. And eventually the church began to even teach that historically it had never happened. So they were kind of in a revisionist mode. In fact, a lot of the evidence that we have now of the wives of Joseph Smith was voluntarily produced by the Utah Mormons to refute the claims that the RLDS was making that Joseph Smith never practiced polygamy.
Interesting.
So
it,
there's always been a kind of a rivalry between the two groups. But more recently, it's interesting, the RLDS have actually become much more liberal in the sense that many of the RLDS that I talk to don't really even focus on Joseph Smith anymore, like the Utah Mormons. And they believe that he was a religious leader, had a great imagination that God used. But a lot of RLDS don't believe that the Book of Mormon was really a historical book. So it's kind of like a neo-orthodoxy in which they believe the Book of Mormon is scripture, but it never really happened. God uses it to speak to your heart. It's not really a literally true book. It's more of a work of fiction. Some of the RLDS leaders believe that.
Well, James, many years ago, I remember being in Kansas City and ultimately Independence, Missouri, and I saw the area that was to be the Garden of Eden, and I did a program. And I never will forget a woman praying to receive Christ who was RLDS. At least she indicated that she had put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I know is her faith needed to be in Jesus and Jesus alone. And I hoped that she truly had authentic salvation, but I couldn't guarantee it. What is your greatest concern?
My concern is almost every member of that church I've ever talked to either believes in universalism, that
everybody's
going to heaven,
make it.
It doesn't matter what you believe, or they believe that their salvation is based on their goodness and their works and their membership. Either of those doctrines is not the real gospel, and that's my deepest concern.
But just as you were in the Mormon church, you heard the truth, and you responded, and the truth set you free. The hope is that anyone, no matter which splinter group of Latter-day Saints, anyone can respond to the truth.
Regardless of your religious background,
right.
The salvation message is a message for all.
Hi, this is Paul for Hope for the Heart. Do you know 8 symptoms of inner conflict with which Mormons struggle? The answer to this question and more of her conversation with James Walker can be found in June Hunt's Heart of the Matter series, Mormonism, A Different Gospel, A Different God. This is a great series for those who want to know more about this belief system and how it varies from Orthodox Christianity. It's also a valuable series for those who have kids going off to college in a couple of months. Chances are they will be introduced to other belief systems, and we want to help you equip them with a solid foundation in their faith. You can order your personal copy of this series at hopefortheheart.org, hopefortheheart.org, or at 1-800-488-HOPE. That's 1-800-488-4673. This month, Hope for the Heart has a special offer to help you and help others. For your gift of $25 to support our ministry, we'll send you a copy of June's book, Hope for Your Heart, as a way of saying thanks. And we will also place a copy of this book into the hands of one of the many women in prison who are trying to rebuild their lives. Call 1-800-488-HOPE or visit us online at hopefortheheart.org. You know, as we talk about hope, we want you to know that it's much more than a vague emotion. Hope can change lives. If your life has been changed by the ministry of Hope for the Heart, won't you let us know as we wind down June in June? We would like to have the chance to thank God for your changed life. You can visit hopefortheheart.org and write your personal note to June, or you can send your note to Hope for the Heart, 2001 Plano Parkway, Suite 1000, Plano, Texas, 75075. And you can share hope and help when you partner with Hope for the Heart. To learn more about this, visit hopefortheheart.org. Now let me take a minute to share another note we received from a listener who wrote about her life change.
Thank you for explaining love to me and helping me to understand that love isn't based on my performance for others. I know that I need to love myself and to love others as myself.
Now, here's June once again with a closing word of hope from God's Word.
We often hear people say that we're all God's children. But based on the Bible, there's only one way to be His child, and that is to be adopted into His family. John 1:12 explains it this way. To all who received Him, and the Him is Jesus Christ, to all who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God.